I want to step into part two of a message I began last Sunday morning because I think it's important. We're at Christmas. There are a lot of people, even among Christendom, that have difficulties in this season for various reasons. And we need restored hope, don't we? A hope that changes our hearts and gets our perspective in the right direction. So 1 Kings 19, it says, there are key words in this passage. Elijah was afraid. It's a very important word, and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went alone. There's another indicator. This guy's got a problem with some discouragement and depression. He was afraid. He moves on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. So I guess he's struggling, isn't he? I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who've already died. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Father, thank you for truth that helps us. These are not accidental passages. They're deliberate and intentional. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Elijah had humiliated and destroyed the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. It's a beautiful sight when you visit Israel to see that place. He has this tremendous victory, and Elijah was completely depleted at the end of that ordeal. He's personally dispatched 850 of these possessed prophets himself, no doubt stressed. He hears Queen Jezebel is out to kill him. And how many know when an angry woman is after you, the sensible thing to do is run and be afraid, okay? So the angel of the Lord appeared and fed him, took care of him. He slept, got up a while and slept again. And then Paul picks up something that kind of ties itself together with this original passage. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Aren't you grateful that God did that for us? Amen? And he gives us instruction as to how we should conduct our living. Now, the anointing will break discouragement, and some of the things we get ourselves into, like Paul was talking about and the story of Elijah, can bring discouragement to us. No matter who we are going to have times in our life when we have to face some very sad moments and discouragement. Anytime life doesn't work out the way you think it should, it can leave us feeling depressed. And anytime you miss the mark in life, it can leave you discouraged. Anytime you don't achieve goals, you can be very disappointed over that. Discouragement can be devastating. It can steal your hopes and your dreams. It can even steal your productivity while you're employed. And so no matter whom we are, discouragement hits all of us at some level in life. No matter how strong we may appear or how great we think we are, discouragement comes when there's been disappointment. We all have had times when we've asked God, why are you allowing me to go through this? When the better question should be, God, what do you want me to learn in the middle of this? All of us have times in our lives when we wonder why God would have allowed certain things. And someone here knows about praying and asking God to assist them with a matter in their marriage, and things have gotten worse. Someone here knows about praying for your children, and things appear to have gotten worse. And life can be very unfair at times. It seems as though you can have everything figured out, and then a curveball comes at you, and you're doing everything right, you're not sinning willfully, then all of a sudden the bottom drops out. Listen, when you're disobeying God and the bottom falls out, you can take a step back and you think, that's the consequence for what I've done. But when you're living right and the bottom falls out, it gets very discouraging. I've had those times when I knew God was going to do certain things and it didn't work out the way that I thought it was going to work out. I prayed and I trusted the Lord, and at least temporarily, things didn't work out the way I thought they were. And let me remind you, temporarily, things don't always work out. When you're serving the Lord, you can't always go by what you see today. Because when you're serving God, what you see today is not always the way it's going to end up. You may be going through some trouble today, but it's not going to end up in trouble, because God knows the end from the beginning. He's got great plans for each of us, and it's not going to stay the way it is today. Tell somebody it's going to change. It will. Many people have a tendency in their lives to have stinking thinking. You know what I mean? And Paul's talking about that in that passage I read to you. There can be several root causes for that. As I've studied the Word of God, I've discovered that people who come from an abusive background tend to have stinking thinking. They have to fight that a lot. I don't know where it all came from in life, but I can tell you that it can become a wilderness mentality, a slave mentality, a mindset. I've always had trouble. I guess I'll always have trouble. I guess nothing will ever change in my life. Remember, the devil is a liar, because when you're serving the Lord, he's going to change things. Things are not going to remain the same. It's going to work out, but you cannot look only at what you're dealing with at the moment when you're placing your faith in the Lord. When you're doing everything you know to do and it looks like it's not working out, it can disappoint us. Come to the place where you feel like, I'm going to throw up my hands and quit. Former pastor and founder of the great church in Houston, Texas, John Osteen. Man, that was a man of God. I'll tell you what. You read his wife's book, Dodie Osteen's book on the healing she received from liver cancer. It's just amazing. He quoted one day, I want to quote him rather. He said this one day. Let me quote him. He said, if I moved 1 mile toward the Pacific Ocean every time I said I quit, instead of living in Houston, I would be living in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We all feel like quitting at some time. Everybody feels like throwing up your hands, but that's where faith has to step in, right? When your faith is under siege, that's when you need to be in God's house, the church, the most. The opposite, unfortunately, is what a lot of people do. When your faith is under siege, like Elijah, you want to go off and withdraw. Now watch this. When you get around people of faith, it affects you. It lifts you. It encourages you. Listen, when you've got something else, somebody else praying for you and standing there with you, it makes you a little stronger, because one of us can put 1,000 to flight and two of us can put 10,000 to flight. There are so many things in life that come against us that are discouraging. The breakup of a relationship can be very discouraging in life. Loss of a loved one can be very depressing. Job or career loss can devastate you. Sometimes you'd feel like there's no use. And when you look up the word depressed, this is the definition: being lower than everything else around you, to be depressed. When you're discouraged or depressed, disappointed, just know that you feel like you're lower than everything around you. Seems like everybody around you is doing better than you are. And by the way, that's not true. That in itself is a lie. Because even though the person next to you looks like they've got it all together, they look like they've got it going on, they look put together today, they're going through something too. Am I right about that? Everybody's going through something. And even though you might feel as though you're lower than everyone else around you, no, it's only a temporary state. Financial losses can devastate. Being single can bring bouts of loneliness. If it's not going well in marriage, being married can discourage you. Anytime you don't see your goals and dreams fulfilled, it can be disappointing. You have a spiritual enemy who wants you to look at the nasty now rather than looking at the future that God has planned for you. Jesus came to bring us an abundant life. You might not be living in that mentality at the moment, but he gave his life so that you could have abundant life, including joy and peace and hope. He paid for those things to become a part of who we are. Tell somebody, Jesus did it for you. Right? If discouragement remains in your life long enough, it'll steal your purpose. It'll steal your joy. It'll take away from you that spark you once had toward your destiny. And if it stays long enough, it'll even steal your reason for living. And that's why we've got such high suicide rates in our culture today, higher this year than it's been in a long, long time across America. And that's why you need to be in God's house. That's why you need to be with the saints. That's why you should belong to a connect group. You need to be in our prayer meeting. When you're in the middle of discouragement, you need to be in God's Word, because the Word of God is alive, it's living, it's powerful, it gets right to the business of life. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God lasts forever. And the Word of God will lift you up when nothing else can. The Word of God will build you up when nothing else can. When everybody seems to disappoint you, the Word of God will give you something to stand on in life. So I'm here to say to you today, no matter who you are, even if you've struggled with some addictions, if someone told you that your life was a mistake, if someone walked out on you, no matter, in all the circumstances of life, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And whether you know it or not, God has a plan that only you can fulfill. No one else can do what God called you to do. And you can reach people that no one else will ever be able to reach. You are unique. You are different in many ways than everybody around you. God didn't make you the same color because he didn't want us all to be the same color. He wanted you to celebrate who you are. And make no mistake, you have a spiritual enemy who wants you to think your life is never going to turn around. He wants you to think that no one is ever going to love you again. He wants you to think that you have no hope left in life. But that devil is lying to you. There are many things that can discourage you. Sometimes when you compare yourself to someone else, it will discourage you. Let me put it like this. There will always be someone who can best you. Always. There will always be someone who can sing better, someone who can preach better, someone who looks better, someone who has a better nose than you do, better hair than you. Quit comparing yourself to other people. Just be the best you can be and go on with your bad self, all right? Do the best you can. God broke the mold when he made you. There's no one like you. Celebrate the fact that God made you who you are. How many know when you compare yourself to others, jealousy can start to slip in? And if you get jealous in your heart, you'll get discouraged. When you compare yourself to others, you start to evaluate and can get discouraged. Conflicts can leave you discouraged. If you've got a problem with somebody, you've got a conflict with a person in your relationship at home, a conflict with someone in relationship at work, the Word tells you what to do. Forgive and resolve and let that thing go. Family issues can discourage people. Looking at your family's history can discourage you. Family reunions can discourage you. Man, some of you are going to have some of those in about 2 weeks. Are you looking forward to that? Well, I hope there are good ones. That in itself tells you you have to resolve family conflict. You've got to work at resolving relationships. When you don't, and you don't work at that, you're going to still end up in the pit of discouragement. Many get discouraged because they don't like who they are. If you're going to overcome the spirit of depression and discouragement, if you're going to rise above any failure or discouragement, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. You have to forgive others. You have to tap into God's presence so you can have his love in you with which to love others. That's what Paul was saying in part of the passage I just read to you. You begin to love people outside of yourself. You also learn to like who you are. And if God can forgive you, you can forgive yourself. Perhaps you failed God so badly, you don't feel like you can get up and go again. You don't know how you can go forward. You've done some things you regret. But the turnaround is, God loves you no matter what. And if God can forgive you, You can forgive yourself. And some things you can't change. You're not going to be able to go back and fix them. You went to jail. You can't change that. You were raised in an abusive home. You can't change that. What happened, happened. Some things you'll never change. Some things you have to give to God and say, Lord, I can't do anything about that, but I can now give myself to you. You have to let it go in his strength. You have to say, Lord, I'm putting all of this in your hands. Yes, I've had a failure or failures. I'm going to put this all under the forgiving blood of Jesus. I'm going to go on forward with you today. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and forgive myself since you've already forgiven me. And often you can break discouragement by simply breaking through those conflicts that you allow in your mind to start tearing you up. Look at your life. See where there are conflicts and then work at resolution. On the flip side, there's some things you have to let go of because no matter what you do, it's not going to fix it. So it's not productive if you just hang on to it and hang on to it. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Amen? So if all you do is stress over these things that you can't fix, your heart's going to get heavy. Your heart's going to get discouraged. The root cause of discouragement is fear or anxiety or both. It causes your heart to be weighted down. It's the fear that things aren't going to work out. Elijah, being afraid, ran off in discouragement. It's the fear that things aren't going to happen the way you hoped for. It's the fear you're never going to be blessed again. It's the fear that someone else will advance beyond yourself. Our God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The root of all anxiety is fear. The root of all your worry is fear. The root of discouragement is fear. And the Lord tells us we shouldn't live like that. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Anytime you're discouraged, it's because something has stolen from you your courage. Some issue has opened the door for the spirit of fear to come in and attack your life. That's why God said, meditate in my word day and night. Because all of a sudden, your thinking begins to change because you're thinking in patterns that God has laid down in his word. Casting all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Because God knows there are some things we cannot handle ourselves. We've got to make then a decision. God, I'm not going to live like this in discouragement for the rest of my life. We have to make a decision. I will not allow fears to control my thinking. I don't have the solutions, but I'm going to stand in trusting the word of the living God. That's what faith does. It says, God, I don't see how this works, but I do trust what you promised because now my thinking is aligned with what you said. Elijah had done a great thing for God on Mount Carmel. He dispatched all the false prophets that were spreading demonology and idol worship throughout the nation of Israel. He dispatched all of those that were corrupt to the core. And now he's depleted. He's exhausted, and through his exhaustion, the spirit of fear begins to attach itself upon him. And let that be a word to everybody here today. Anytime you allow exhaustion to get into your life, listen, you normally don't have the strength to combat, when you're exhausted, the spirit of fear that's attempting now to attach itself. Because when you're vulnerable when you're exhausted. And once the spirit of fear gets a foothold, discouragement will overtake you. And through his exhaustion, the spirit of fear attacks Elijah. But remember, the word tells us what he did. He goes and he rests. And then God supernaturally fed him something nutritious. Then he slept again. You see, fatigue can create depression. If you're not getting enough rest, discouragement can get a hold of you rapidly. And when you're getting proper rest, you are full of strength, and you're alert, and you're awake. The Spirit of the Lord is fresh in your heart because you've been studying his word, and you're being refreshed. You're standing on what God says, not on what the patterns of your thoughts are. Therefore, you can fight what the enemy throws against you because you've armored yourself up. I've learned a couple of things through the years, and they are these. Diet affects your attitude. If you consume too much sugar, your moods are going to go all over the map, right? If you're not exercising, exercise is a great way to relieve stress from your body. And we've discovered how vitamin D, manufactured from sunlight on your body, is a benefit to your mood. How many knew that? Yeah, it is. Because the study has proven it, that your attitude depends on how much available daylight there is during different times of the years. And because of the fluctuation in the amount of daylight at different times of the year, how exposure to that also affects various bodily functions. The most interesting support for that was in a study, and they called it seasonal affective disorder, or SAD in short, where the study was done. Yeah, they call them the winter blues, the lethargy and feelings of sadness and hopelessness when the weather forces people to remain indoors more often than not, and they get little opportunity for exposure to natural sunlight, because the frequency of natural sunlight in the morning elevates your mood and re-energizes you through the day. So get out in the sunshine as much as you can, because that also has impact on your overall health. That's amazing. It says Elijah was so discouraged, he goes and sits under a juniper tree and asks God to let him die. That's pretty discouraged. Amen? Remember, he personally dispatched 850 prophets himself. So physically, he's done. And what a victory he has on Mount Carmel. But he's exhausted. And he just wants to lay down and die. No doubt, like any warrior who's had to go to war and kill, when the moment is over, when the crisis is past, they're exhausted. He's probably suffering from depression and post-traumatic stress. Have you ever been at that place in your life? The word says Elijah is so depressed that he gets up and he goes hiding in a cave. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to go hide somewhere. He wants you to go to your home and just lock the door and don't see anything or anybody, because Satan wants you to live in the cave of despair. How many know when you're discouraged, you're going to want a pity party? And understand, no one else wants to attend your pity party. It's just a box of Kleenex and you. That's it. That's the party. And I'm preaching to somebody here today. Satan wants you to pull the blinds and lay down in your cave of despair all by yourself, isolating yourself. Don't come to church. Don't bring God the tithe. Just wallow in your misery. Sit there feeling sorry for yourself in your own private pity party. That devil is lying to you. Anytime you're feeling discouraged, you have to know something has to be dealt with in my life. Don't just act like it's not there. Don't just sweep it under the rug. Discouragement is the fruit of something that needs to be dealt with in our lives. Discouragement is not the root cause. It's the expression. Well, I'll have the pastors lay hands on us. Well, yes, that's biblical. Yes, it helps. It brings deliverance. There are times, however, when you have to deal with the root of the fruit. In other words, what's the real root issue going on in your life? Anytime the enemy lies to you and you receive it, there comes a forged chain of depression around you. If you ever had that chain of depression around you, it seems like you can't break it. It's like a constant ache inside of you. And you wonder, how do I get out of this? Most of the time, that chain is forged right up here. Most of the time, it's our stinking thinking. Most of the time, we believe the lie that it's never going to work out, that nothing's ever going to change. What I've got is what I'm going to get all of my life. That's a lie. And don't you reinforce it by speaking that. You have to deal with the root of that issue. Sometimes discouragement is linked to a spiritual problem. If there's a spiritual issue going on, you're going to have to deal with that spiritual issue. Are you not being faithful to God? Are you stealing from God time and talent and treasure? Are you not faithful in His word? Are you breaking away from fellowship with His people? That's going to bring discouragement and forge a chain. You cannot live your life outside the word and keep the joy of the Lord in your life. Now, I know you love Reggie, and you want to sleep over there on Friday night, but listen to me. For a while, that'll work out. Just for a little while, it seems to work out. Feels okay. You kind of do what you want to do, but suddenly the joy goes. You can think that doing that drug is just a blast. For a while, you'll have fun. Then just like that, you're going to look in the mirror one day and say, what have I done in my life? Anytime a Christian harbors bitterness in his heart, the Holy Spirit will be grieved. The fruit of unforgiveness, listen, it will bring depression. If unwholesome words are coming out of your mouth, if you're speaking negativity all the time, listen, if you are bitter, unforgiving, don't be surprised if the fruit that you bear is depression and discouragement. If you keep losing your temper and going off on people, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you allow jealousy to get in, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the word there commands us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How many know that you can upset him and his work in your life when you speak and act out in ways that are displeasing to him? The end result is depression and discouragement. But if you love the Lord today, even though you've been depressed, the first things you need to check are these. Is my relationship with the Lord right? How am I living my life out? Am I pleasing him in my decision-making and my thought processes? Check the sin thermometer. Am I knowingly violating principles in God's word? Because that's going to get me in some trouble with God. Anytime you get your life in alignment with the word of God, you put yourself in the position to be blessed. You put yourself in position for the joy of the Lord to return in your life. Resolving conflicts and forgiving others, it's a big issue with God. God forgave you of everything you did wrong, and you didn't deserve it. Neither did I. Now you have to forgive others who don't deserve it as well. Sometimes you've got to do what God says if you want the right end and result. And if Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. I don't know about you, but I want my daddy to forgive me. I don't want to break relationship with him. And I believe when you get everything right between God and you, it's a huge step toward the restoration of the joy of the Lord in your life, getting some laughter back in your life. Amen? How many know it's a good thing? Merriment in your life is good for your spirit. Anytime you're stricken with discouragement, look at the root cause. Why am I discouraged? What has me so upset? David was in sin, and the word says he lost the joy of his salvation. If you've lost your joy, check yourself. Say, what's going on in my life? Am I harboring something that's offending the Lord? Find out if there's anything you've done. Before the Lord can turn everything around in your life, you have to get your heart right with him. When your heart is right, then your attitude starts to change. When your heart is right, you don't have a problem bringing the tithe to the Lord. When your heart is right, you don't have a problem of letting go of the past. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So you've got to make a fresh decision today. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to start living the way God asked me to live. I'm going to get back into his word in a whole new way, and that chain is going to break its hold on me. I might have been bound by it, but it's broken when I make up my mind to act on God's word. Now, remember, religion cannot turn your life around. The psychic can't turn your life around. In fact, a husband or wife can't turn your life around. But Jesus can turn your life around. And sometimes you have to make that decision that affects your future. I've got to stop when I'm thinking. I have to stop in the middle of a thought and practice this procedure. That thought that just ran through my head, I want to filter that through God's word. Does this thought align itself with what God says? If it does, let's move and act on it. If it doesn't, I need to cast it down. I need to dash it to the ground. Because if it doesn't align itself with what God says, it's going to harm me. It'll start affecting my everything in my being. So none of these things can turn your life around except God himself. So you ask yourself, well, I keep being discouraged because I'm thinking about all this negative stuff going on in my life. You make a decision, I'm going to change some things in my life and the way I am thinking. And I just gave you the little process by which you learn. It becomes now an automatic habit rather than one I have to stop and forcibly make myself do, that I want to run this thought by the word of the living God. If you're discouraged, look at your life, the way you're living, how you're thinking. Is there somebody I need to forgive? Are you allowing worry to overtake you? Are you getting enough exercise? Do you need to modify your diet? Do you need to curb your intake of sugar? Long time of the year to say that, huh, Pastor? Do you need... Wow, that just hit me like a, yeah, that's going to be fun, right? Okay, that chocolate lemon pie sure looks good right now, right? Do you need to cast all your cares on the Lord, trusting him in a whole new way? No matter what you're going through, it's not as bad as your mind tells you it is. Remember that. I was doing some research into different insurances, and it's kind of an interesting statistic when you get down deep into the root of this stuff. Most insurance companies are doing pretty well. They make lots of profit in their businesses. And here's why. Because 85% of the things you're worried about never happen. But because they got everybody scared thinking they are, sign here, okay? Well, I got a bad report from the doctor. Mm-hmm. We've all had those kind of reports. We're going to trust God that you're going to live. Amen? And if you die, you'll be with the Lord. And I'm saying to you, it's not as bad as you think. What's the worst thing that can happen? You go be with the Lord. That's the worst thing. Pastor, he left me. He walked out. You won't be the last one. And if God can turn it around for one, he can turn it around for you. God will work it all for your good. It might not work out exactly like you wanted to, but when he works it out, it's going to be good for you. Amen? Are you listening? Get rid of every grudge. Get rid of the chip on your shoulder. You have to take authority over your thoughts. And you have to say, in the name of Jesus, I lay hands on my own head. And I ask these thoughts to come into alignment with God's word. I cast down every evil imagination. The very first miracle that Jesus performed was turning water into wine, right? That's what he wants to do for every one of us. Turn our bad circumstance into wine, a joyful experience. Wants to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness that's come into your life. Make some changes in your life. Let's make some adjustments. Get out a comedy marathon and watch a couple of hours of just sheer pleasurable comedy and laugh along with it. Quit watching the bad news channel CNN. And stop watching early in the morning, be depressed this morning, America. Stop watching that one. Yeah. And then there's that one they call the Pew. No, I mean the View. Stop watching that junk, okay? Learn to laugh at yourself. Quit comparing yourself to others. Let some people off the hook. Quit letting people get under your skin. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanks, let your requests be made known to God. Vent to the Lord. That's what David did over and over in the Psalms. Make up your mind that you're through with the stinking thinking. And you have to look beyond where you are at the moment. You're hanging on a cross today, seemingly. but you're not going to be there forever. In 3 days, you're coming out of the tomb. You'll be resurrected out of it and begin to look toward the blessing just ahead. Isaiah said that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon Jesus to heal our broken hearts, to break the chains that bind us. The Spirit of God will break chains. He cuts right through chains. His presence destroys yokes. The Word of God is sharp and it's powerful and it's quick and it cuts through everything that holds you. Now, life has a way of leaving you discouraged, but when you're serving the King of Kings, He has a way of turning it all around. My God turns tribulation into triumph. So, we pulled into the garage on Friday night. We have the grandkids with us, and lower the garage door. And just as it just almost was finished lowering, there was this big snap. And the door went, bam. I knew what that meant. I looked around. There was a busted spring up there. Nice. It's Friday night, right? So I call as many as I can who have listings for, you know, we work on garage doors, da, da, da. See you Monday morning. See you Monday morning. So I checked this one site, and I put my email in there and phone number, and I get a call within 5 minutes. He's out of Sacramento, and he's a Coptic Christian who escaped Egypt because of the persecution against Christians by Muslims. He said, under the last leadership you had in America, our lives became miserable in Egypt because the Muslims went on a rampage. They murder, they kill. So we moved to get escape. I landed in Sacramento, and I learned to trade over the last 4 years. And what do you need? And I told him. He said, well, that's what I do. He said, I learned how to do this. And I said, well, here's what's wrong. And he said, I can fix it. I said, so when can you fix it? I'm thinking here, Monday morning, right? He goes, what time do you want me there in the morning? And I said, what time can you get here? He said, I'll be at your house in Yuba City at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. He wasn't 10 seconds late. At 7 o'clock, he's in my driveway. He calls me on my phone and says, Mr. Michael, this is Basim. I'm here to fix your garage door. 1 hour later, he's got 2 new springs in there, bigger than the ones they installed it with to begin with. And my tribulation turned into triumph, and the garage door went up. Yes! So, I pulled in there at night. I thought, I won't get out of here now for the weekend, right? But here we were, and before I had to use the car again and get out of the garage, the garage door was working. And this little beautiful Christian guy was sharing his testimony of escape, and we had a wonderful, it was a divine moment. It was God's blessing. Amen? He takes your mess and turns it into a message, your tribulation into triumph. And no matter how unfair people have been at times or life, God says, I'll make it up to you. And when God makes it up, it doesn't always happen right away like it did for us in that moment. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's a little bit this month, a little bit next month. Sometimes it's year to year. And if you're not careful, you'll learn to live behind prison walls. And you can make a good living. You can have good friends. But you can't come out of the cave of despair. People are jealous of what you've got. But learn to be grateful for what you have. We've got to learn that God is God all by himself. He can do what he chooses. Our lives are in his hands. And if it doesn't turn around today, it'll turn around tomorrow. If it doesn't tomorrow, it'll turn around next week. If it doesn't happen next week, it'll happen next month. But it's all happens right here. Here's where the battle's fought. God wants to give you something beautiful and take away something bad. Amen? And remember, you may have to scratch your way out of the trouble, but you're going to come out of it. You may have to dig your way out, but you're going to come out of it. You're not going to play the victim any longer, because the first thought after a series of things like that I described to you happen, and that was only one of several in the past week with stuff like that, the thought wants to race through your head, you're under siege. You're a victim. I said, I'm not a victim. I'm a child of God. But your thought life will tell you, everybody's against me. No one's going to help me. Why is my life so bad? That's victim speaking. You can't play the victim when you're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your mind says you're trapped. Your mind says you got no way out. My God's already made a way of escape. Even if his name is Basim, the devil's lying to you because God's made a way for you. And let me tell you, as surely as morning follows night, as surely as spring follows winter, God will make up to you everything that you've lost. That's the God we serve. Put your faith in him and your trust in him. We've got one more thing to tell you before we close, and I'm done. The devil's been telling you you're never going to be happy, but God said all things are working together for good for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. That is what God gave me to say to you today. In a moment, he'll bring you out. You just don't know when that moment will come. Between now and then, don't quit. Don't stop believing him. Don't stop trusting him. Keep your faith in him, and suddenly everything changes. Suddenly the check shows up in the mail. Suddenly the contract gets signed. Suddenly he's turned everything the way you had hoped and prayed for. Thank God I serve a God who works in the suddenlies of life, because he allows our lives to be tested to see if we will trust him even when it's the most difficult day of our lives. Will you still trust me? That I'm still a faithful God, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Again, I remind us all of Job's words, even if you slay me, you've taken, allowed everything else to be taken. If you want my life, I'll still trust you because I know who you are. Thank God. Let's stand together and praise him for a moment.